Welcome to Podcast One. We hope you'll support our sponsors who bring you these podcasts absolutely free and with limited interruptions. And of course, we appreciate you listening to this show, which will get started in just a second.
If you are looking to buy a car, you're probably familiar with terms like MSRP. You might even know what that stands for. But what does it actually mean? Same goes for invoice, list price, and dealer price. It's enough to confuse anybody. All you're really looking for is a price that actually means something. Introducing True Price from TrueCar. Now you can know exactly what you'll pay for the car you want, including fees and accessories, before you even get to the dealership. TrueCar dealers will show you the true price on cars like the one you want, all from the comfort of home. And how do you know if your true price is a great price? Because TrueCar shows you what other people paid for that same car that you want. And your certified dealers know this, so they set their true price competitively so they can win your business. So when you are ready to buy a new or a used car, visit TrueCar to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features not available in all states.
The following program is a PodcastOne.com presentation.
I have quite a few tattoos myself.
I do have tattoos.
I do actually have one.
If you feel like you see more and more tattoos on people these days, there are actually stats to back that up. In late 2015, the Harris Poll did a study that said 3 in 10 Americans now have at least one tattoo.
I have a couple that have some meaning behind them. I have one on my forearm that's like a heart made out of vines with two roses.
And while, of course, some people are anti.
And why would I cover up my natural marks, you know, my God-given marks, with something that I place out over it?
That same study says that tattoo numbers are on the rise.
I've always wanted to. I just have never done it.
Welcome to another episode of Backseat Rider, the podcast where I drive a Lyft and whoever ends up in the backseat of my car becomes the cast of this show. No podcast last week. I took the week off because of the holidays, so happy belated New Year. And in this New Year, one of the very first conversations that I had with my wife, Maggie, it got a little heated. Maggie has been talking about getting a tattoo of a dragonfly for years now, pretty much ever since we got married, probably even before then. And here in 2018, she decided that it was time to finally go through with it. So on New Year's Day, she decided to kind of loop me into some brainstorming that she had been doing about like the specifics, the size of it, the placement of it, all that. And she asked my opinion, and I was honest. I said I thought it was too big. She didn't really like that. And I also wasn't sold on the location, which she also didn't like. So anyway, conversation got a little bit tense, but at the same time, I thought it might be an interesting topic for passengers to chime in on. And if you knew Maggie, this wouldn't surprise you. It didn't stop her at all from going ahead and making the appointment to get the dragonfly tattoo done. And a couple of days before that appointment, Maggie agreed to talk to me about our little exchange on tape.
What did you ask me and how did I react?
Yes. So another reason why it's taken me forever to do this is because I always knew I wanted to do the tattoo, but I couldn't decide like where I was going to do it. And I've gone back and forth over the years on placement. And I decided to ask your sister and your mom because they're both, your sister's got a couple of tattoos herself, and both of them are very artistic and creative, and I trust their judgment. So we decided the middle of my back along the spine would be a great place, like right between my shoulder blades for the tattoo. Like the, you know, it would almost be just very in sync because you would have the the body of the dragonfly right along the spine. So you walked in, and I said, okay, babe, I'm going to get this tattoo. Like, you know, before I do, I just want to, like, run the placement by you one more time. And you were not thrilled.
Now, during said conversation, which was, again, a couple days earlier, she had brought out her laptop and showed me an image. It was a Photoshopped image of a dragonfly superimposed onto her back. And the dragonfly itself was bigger than I was expecting based on our previous conversations. And it was also dead center on her back between the shoulder blades.
Yeah, so to me, it surprised me because it always was in my head that you were going to do like a 3 to 4 inch, like kind of subtle scientific dragonfly, like on your shoulder or like on your, I don't know, like some out of the way spot. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Not that the shoulder is out of the way, but my first reaction was like, this is like a bird landing on your back. that's not the case though.
No.
You might be wondering why the dragonfly. Well, there happens to be a very special story behind that.
My mom, as you know, passed away when I was just about 7. And when she was sick, my mom told my dad to tell the family, including myself and my sister, and her sisters, my aunts, that when they saw a dragonfly, to think of her. Little background, she had non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, and she had gone through remission but then relapsed, and so at that point she'd gone through chemo and bone marrow transplant, but she knew that she was terminal, so she had kind of started the process of like tying things up and thinking about, you know, what she needed to do to just, you know, what she needed to do for my sister and me and my dad for after she passed. And so she, I don't know why, but apparently she had read that some Native American cultures believed that after you pass, that your spirit can take the form of a dragonfly.
There's a lot online on this topic, and one website I found said that some Native Americans perceive dragonflies as the souls of the dead. And if you're visited by a dragonfly around the time of a loved one's passing, that signifies their soul taking form in the spirit of a dragonfly. And it also means that that person's soul is free.
Certain tribes believed that when someone passed, that they came back or they moved on in the form of a dragonfly. And so I think it was something that she kind of latched onto a little bit as, well, this is a nice symbol that I can have the family think of whenever they see a dragonfly. They can think of me, and it's just, you know, a nice, peaceful vision and reminder that you know, I'm still here and we're still connected. So so the first year after she passed away, my dad actually found some company that had these really beautiful scientific drawings of dragonflies and on different objects. And so he gave me, at the time, he gave me a paperweight, and I kept it for as long as I possibly could, and unfortunately, in my many moves, I don't know where it is any longer, or it's kind of out there in the universe somewhere, but the image itself, nonetheless, has always maintained a significance to me.
Because of that significance, since we've been married, the dragonfly has become this recurring image. First off, Maggie and I always notice them when they're, like, buzzing around us, if we're on a walk or something. And over the years, our friends and family have given us a lot of stuff because they know about it. and Maggie's gotten a lot of gifts with dragonflies on the cover or something. I remember it being on a journal she has, and also on a mug and a hand towel as well. And for our wedding, which was an outdoor wedding, it took place in the fall, the guys in my wedding party wore dragonfly ties. And also my dad did something special too.
And you remember what my dad did on our wedding?
Yes, of course. So, yeah. So
he tends to go all out in these scenarios.
But it was perfect. And so your dad, for our wedding, he knew how important the dragonfly emblem was for us. And he is an amazing paper cutter, and he does what's called papel picado, as you know. But he made these Mexican banners for our wedding, and using the dragonfly as the decorative element. And they were all over the wedding. But the most special moment for me, like with regards to that, is right before we were walking down the aisle. I can't remember if I've told you this or not, but you know, the song that you had recorded on the piano started playing.
For Maggie's walk down the aisle, a couple weeks earlier, I had gone to a studio and recorded this cover of a famous Pixies song.
And I was standing there with my dad, and oh, he's just got a way of making me full of emotion. And so he says, oh, yeah, so this might be the most important moment of your life. And you did well. You chose well. And I was like, oh, thanks, Dad. But right when the music started, the sun just kind of backlit the banner of dragonflies. And I was arm in arm with my dad, and we both just lost it. We both just started crying together, and we both kind of felt like, yeah, you know, she's here, and sorry. Yeah, it was very special, and especially, like, it's those moments where I know a lot of people might think it's cheesy or ridiculous, but, like, a moment like that where you just feel like there's a significance to the symbol, and she's, I don't know, what, even if it's just something that it's in my heart and I see it and it reminds me of her.
After hearing that, I immediately felt bad about my less than thrilled reaction to that photoshopped rendering that she'd showed me.
I think that's why I got so frustrated with you when you were critiquing the size and the space. It's like I got to a point where I was like, yes, I finally decided. I'm excited about it. And then I just kind of, you were not thrilled. And it just like took the wind out of my sail a little bit. This is going to be on my body for the rest of my life. And you're, in the end, there's not a lot of people I care about their opinion. Like, there's not a lot of people whose opinion would really matter to me, like what they think about my tattoo, but you happen to be one of them.
Along the ribs, to me, feels like a less conspicuous spot than the middle of the back for some reason.
Right. No, it is. But I think I had thought of that you thought of it as like just kind of an intimate part of my body that you enjoyed and you, you know, wanted it to
remain free and clear of all ink.
Yeah.
All right.
Which,
so
again, I'm like, I think I'm giving you too much authority over my decisions, probably.
That's what I want to talk to the riders about, is like, you know, is this me meddling? Do I have a right to meddle? Like, it's your body. It's not my body. Although, there is a school of thought that says, I'm going to be seeing this tattoo more than you are.
Right.
With 2 days before Maggie's appointment with the tattoo artist, I decided to set out on the roads to tap into my favorite source for sage wisdom, random Lyft passengers.
I do actually have one.
Okay.
It's a piece I got in college that I got. I went to school for costume design for the theater.
Okay.
And my tattoo is actually a spool of thread linked to a needle. So it's a little tie back to school for me.
That's what I did with it. Yeah. How long ago did you get it?
Oh, God. I would have got that in probably 2010, 2011 was it when I did that.
And you were how old?
I was 21, I think.
Okay. And do you mind if I ask where it's located?
It's right in the center of my chest, across my sternum.
So how big is it?
It's probably an inch tall by 3 inches wide.
Okay. So it's not huge, but it's in a prominent location. I mean, depending on
yeah, the exactly. situation. Exactly, yeah. No, I put it there so I could hide it if I wanted to, or show it if I wanted to.
This ride happened on one of the nights that was below zero in Chicago, and it started on a residential block in Andersonville, and it ended at a lakefront high-rise.
Okay, so will you tell me about the decision that that went into actually going through with it? You know, obviously, you know, the meaning was tied to what you were and are, I assume are still passionate about.
Yeah.
But, like, what made you want to make it permanent in that way?
Oh, gosh. It's just something I'd done forever and intended to keep on doing. And it's so much a part of who I am and what I do on a daily basis that it just seemed appropriate that it become actually part of me, you know.
So what? Are you still in costume design or theater work?
I am. It's not my primary job, but I do it on the side when I can. You know, it's my outlet for my 9-to-5er sort of job.
That 9-to-5 job is as a real estate broker. He says he does it to fund his real passion.
Just before I actually moved from Oklahoma City to Chicago, I worked on a project with some friends. A friend of mine's a playwright, and he directed a show and asked me to do the costume design work on it for him. It was a show about someone who lived in a small community that wanted to do good in the world, never quite figured out how to do so. And always kind of mucked it up and got in trouble by being a little bit too much of an activist. So it was a great story to be able to tell and help tell that story to a larger audience. That's what I really love about theater and why I do costume design for the theater, is to help tell those kind of stories to people who might not hear them and to tell them in different ways if someone has heard a story like that before.
You know, a lot of people kind of, and I think this is true for music too, when music is part of a movie, for example, it's easy to forget that music and set design and costume design are characters in the movie or the play.
Definitely.
As much as the, you know, it's like the actors get the glory in a way.
Mm-hmm.
But what is it, what do you feel like most people don't appreciate about or might not think about when it comes to costume design, whether it's in a movie or a play?
I think people just kind of take it for granted that it's there because if it's done well, it's almost you don't notice that it's helping to tell the story because it feels natural. I think people actually notice those things more when they're off because it disrupts the story and doesn't help further it. The costume design should help the story, but it also should also legitimize what is being seen by the viewer and make it reality while they're experiencing it.
I asked him to tell me about a project that he was most proud of. And in answering that question, he brought up this play from college. And that was 7 or 8 years ago. So the response kind of left me wondering, man, I wonder if the tattoo carries negative connotations now because it's maybe it's a symbol of some kind of lost dream that he hasn't really worked on in 7 or 8 years or felt good about in a long time.
When you see that tattoo on a day-to-day basis or just in your life,
whenever it happens, what would you say goes through your mind when you see it all this time later?
Yeah, I just, you know, it just reminds me of, a lot of times I see it when I'm getting ready for work in the morning, and it makes me go, okay, I'm going to go to work to do my job, so that I can go play here the rest of the time. You know, it inspires me to push through so I can get back to that. It's a reminder for why I'm doing what I'm doing. Yeah, it's my reminder to go make it happen so that I can go make that my all the time.
That guy got out before I could really get his take on what a spouse's or significant other's role should be when it comes to tattoo decisions, but I had a lot more time with these next two people. These are two strangers who were in my backseat sharing a Lyft line ride.
I think you need to be honest with her what you feel about it. I mean, you seem to have been honest and said that you thought it was really big, but I do think, you know, when it comes down to the end of the day, since it has such special meaning to her, it's her body and she can make that decision, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I totally agree with what you just said. I have quite a few tattoos myself, and my partner has two, and his are pretty substantial in size, and we had actually a very similar discussion. He wanted to get a tattoo on his calf, and at first it was like massive, pretty much like wrapping around his whole calf, and he was like, when he asked me, he was like, what do you think? And I was like, it like is huge, and if that's what you want, that's cool, mm-hmm. but it's huge. And he was like, I'm so glad you said that, because I was like, in the back of my mind, I was like, this tattoo is way too big. So I think there's definitely this weird thing you have to go to when somebody asks you for your advice on something that they are already set on getting, especially something permanent like a tattoo. Because if they really openly, honestly want your advice, that's great. But if they want you to say, oh, babe, I love it, that's a different thing.
Exactly.
Which, not that it didn't seem like you were like, oh, it's ugly, I hate the design, it's terrible, what a stupid idea. You just said it looks too big, potentially.
Yes.
And I feel like that could be like an open discussion once she puts the stencil on and she sees it on her body. She might be like, oh shit, he's right.
The male passenger is a pro when it comes to modern dance. He is not only a dancer himself, but also a dance instructor.
I have a couple that have some meaning behind them. I have one on my forearm that's like a heart made out of vines with two roses. My mom had just gotten divorced from my dad, and she was not in the best place because of how it went down. He cheated on her, and it just got real messy really quickly. And I think in the back of her mind, she was like, that was kind of it for her, that she was just going to be alone for the rest of her life after that. And you know, you never really want to see somebody you love, especially your mom, who is supposed to kind of be your rock, who's supposed to be helping you through hard times as opposed to the other way around. So that in itself was hard for me to have to witness her go through that. But, you know, she was going through depression and just was not taking care of herself, to put it lightly. So we kind of had to, my brother was moved out at this time, so I kind of had to step in and be my mom's guardian, as it seemed like, for a while. But eventually she kind of got back on her feet and ended up in a really great place and is in a relationship with a man who really loves her and she really loves. And I don't know, there's something I've always really found poetic about springtime and growth in general.
Rebirth.
Yeah, rebirth. I always get really happy when, like, greenery starts to bloom and blossom, so it just felt really fitting that my mom's favorite flower was a rose, and, you know, to get that kind of tattoo to symbolize my love for her and kind of the struggle that we both had to go through for a little while.
How long ago was that?
I got that tattoo 6 months after I was 18, so that was about 7 years ago.
And when you say that she wasn't taking care of herself, what do you mean? What are you referring to?
There was just a lot of drinking. Okay. A lot of alcohol involved.
We were headed southbound on Ashland, which is this major north-south street, when I got another Lyft line pickup request. So I already had two people. There was about to be a third. But before the third person got in, the woman who was already in back chimed in. And FYI, she does communications work for a nonprofit here in Chicago.
I've always wanted to. I just have never done it. Like, I don't have anything that means that much to me. You know what I mean? Your story that you had, that's awesome.
Well, it's also interesting because I feel like a lot of people don't get tattoos because they're like, oh, it has to mean something.
Exactly.
It has to have this, like, this bigger, grander plan and theme or whatever. But
yeah,
after I it's definitely one of those things where after you get a few, you're just like, oh, that's a pretty design. Oh, I like that. I'll put that
on my
body.
So you just have to, like, do the first one.
The first one, yeah. The first few, yes, should mean something. You should, you know, get you over that hump of, oh my God, this is so scary, it's permanent. But
was that your first one?
It was my second.
I like when strangers start talking on their own in the backseat. It makes my job so much easier. And in this case, the third passenger who got in, she actually sat up front, offered up her own take without me even having to ask, which was great.
So, my grandpa was a really big influence in my life, and he passed away about 6 years ago now. Yeah, it was about 6 years ago. And he was big on education, always was bringing us to museums, buying us books, giving us books that he had a whole library in his basement. And his one thing to me was, when I was in college, he kept, you know, emphasizing about learning. It's all about learning. It's not about the grades that you're getting. So no matter what you're doing, be sure that you're just enriching your life. And one of his big things was learning Latin, the language. And he kept pushing it. And finally, when he passed away, it was my cue. Okay, I'm ready to take Latin now. So I started a brand new language in college, which is a little bit hard to kind of just pick something up. And obviously it's a dead language. You're not speaking it, but you're learning the roots and everything. And one of his big quotes to me always, and he had written it out, is the only constant is change. So my whole goal was to get a tattoo that said I wanted to learn how to, you know, write out the only constant is change in Latin and tattoo it in his handwriting on my back. And I just haven't gotten around to doing it. I think I'm just a baby about needles. It's got 100% meaning. It's just the courage behind actually putting it on my skin.
All right, quick thing before we get to another passenger. During that same Lyft line, I had this annoying little interaction with a Chicago cop. I was pulling over on North Avenue, which is a busy street, to let one of them out. I still had one remaining in the back seat. I still had a passenger in back. And I pulled to the right, and I swear, I pulled over for like 15 seconds to let her out. And I was about to start going again when I saw a cop flashing his lights right behind me.
Seems like a waste of time and energy to me.
Yeah.
to purposely blocking the street.
Oh, I was I'm a Lyft driver, and I'm.
You can't pull in that big parking spot that's right there. You got to block the street.
I'm sorry, but.
Pull up over there.
Sorry, officer.
If I give you a ticket, that'd be a bit eat into your profits thing, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would.
Okay, so stop blocking traffic.
Sorry about that.
That was not called for.
I agree. All right, I admit I probably should have found a, you know, a parking spot or something, but it was going to be quick. If that passenger, by the way, who is still in the car when all that happened, is listening right now, I do appreciate you being in my corner.
I mean, I just didn't think that was necessary, that comment, like, of take your profits away for the day.
Yeah.
Like, Jesus. It's kind of funny, but I mean, seriously.
Coming up, we will hear from more passengers, plus we will get up close and personal with my wife, Maggie, as she is getting her new tattoo. And of course, the big reveal. Maggie is in the basement with my dad and Theo. All right, let's see it.
Hi, babe. You want me to show you the tattoo?
Yeah.
Okay.
Before we get to all that, I got to pause for a quick second to tell you about one of the sponsors making it possible for me to bring you Backseat Rider for free in 2018, and that is Geico. Everybody's got a to-do list. Drop off the dry cleaning, pick up some milk. But here's an idea. Let's add save hundreds of dollars on car insurance. And the good thing is you don't have to drop off or pick up anything. All you have to do is go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. Extra money in your pocket? It just may be the most rewarding to-do you do today.
Podcast One has new shows on our new app. Check out all the cool features to help you explore our exciting new programming, like America's Lakers podcast with Jay Moore, Sessions with Randy Jackson, So Random with Corinne Olympios, Attack Each Day, The Harbaugh's podcast, Not Just Sports with Susie Schuster and Rich Eisen, and Sound of Success, The Dick Enberg podcast, as well as your old favorites like The Lady Gang, Steve Austin, Shaquille O'Neal, and Adam Carolla. Get the new Podcast One app in the App Store, Google Play, or PodcastOne.com.
If you were looking to buy a car, you're probably familiar with terms like MSRP. You might even know what that stands for. But what does it actually mean? Same goes for invoice, list price, and dealer price. It's enough to confuse anybody. All you're really looking for is a price that actually means something. Introducing True Price from True Car. Now you can know exactly what you'll pay for the car you want, including fees and accessories, before you even get to the dealership. True Car dealers will show you the true price on cars like the one you want, all from the comfort of home. And how do you know if your true price is a great price? Because True Car shows you what other people paid for that same car that you want. And your certified dealers know this, so they set their true price competitively so they can win your business. So when you are ready to buy a new or a used car, visit TrueCar to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features not available in all states. Welcome back. We are now in the Logan Square neighborhood that is on the northwest side of Chicago. Another brutally cold night, driving Lyft and forcing the topic of my wife's upcoming tattoo on all my passengers.
You know, she's 32. I'm 39. She can do whatever she wants.
She's a woman, right?
Yeah.
She makes her choices.
Yeah. Like, how much should a spouse, and you feel free to answer this again any way you want, but like, how much, like, say, should I even get in the issue?
Right. You know what? Like, obviously, if it was my wife, I wouldn't be too happy with her making that choice, because I think it'd be kind of immature, in my opinion.
I know Maggie is definitely listening to this right now. She also happens to have a journalism degree, so she will completely understand the need for me to include a wide range of perspectives on tattoo decision-making.
There's so much more that we could spend our money on, and so much more that we could do with that. I feel like tattoos are symbolic in many different ways, but you got to have that internally. So sometimes I feel tattoos are a sign of something lacking internally. And that's not just, this is my opinion, you know, my opinion. I think, you know, she could definitely, but you should support her with whatever you want, whatever she, so you guys, you know, don't argue or, you know, she knows that you, even if you fake it, have her back. You know, if you fake it, you have her back, but she at least, you know, remembers that and they don't forget anything. So
are you married?
No. Okay. No.
Not married, coaches baseball and basketball at a nearby high school.
This is silly, but my thing is, like, you know, we have like beauty marks on our body and like, you know, things like that, like little freckles here and there and little marks, birthmarks. And, you know, I had this, I feel like this was God-given, and I feel like those are my marks. And why would I cover up my natural marks, you know, my God-given marks with something that I place out over it?
I do have tattoos. I personally, for myself, would only get something that means something. I'm a little too fickle on, like, pure design things, and I'm a little wary of things that could end up just being like a trendy tattoo thing that people get. So for me personally, it has to have some other meaning than I like the design, but I also am totally fine with other people going that route. It's just a personal decision. And ultimately, if it's something that makes you happy and you appreciate for the art or you appreciate for the meaning, then why not?
I picked her up right after dropping off the coach. Software engineer, late 20s. And she was headed home from a gym in Wicker Park.
I actually am one of the few people who's gotten a matching tattoo with someone else. And it's my best friend. And most people, like, when the tattoo artist did it, he was like, are you sure? Because I think most people, if they get matching tattoos, it's usually with family. So we already were kind of like, oh, yeah, it's fine. Trust us. It'll be good. This is a friend who I consider a sister. And the meaning behind it is like this abstract reference to a cult classic film that's both of our favorite movies. So like there's one scene in this movie.
What's
with
the movie?
Harold and Maude.
Oh, I know it.
Okay, cool. Most
older
people tell.
Woman,
yeah.
Young guy.
It's like an unconventional love story. Right. Yeah, like totally bizarre. The boy is obsessed with death and all this stuff. But it's just like this dark humor that we both really appreciate. Well, there's a line in it, and it's, grab the shovel, Harold.
Grab the shovel,
Harold. She's already on the bike, and he's grabbing the shovel in this tree that they're trying to replant from the back of this truck that they stole.
Uh-huh.
And so this line, grab the shovel, has always kind of been like an inside joke for us.
Uh-huh.
And so we have abstract shovel tattoos.
Is it the shovel itself?
It looks like a weird shovel. It's an abstract shovel, which, again, the tattoo artist is like, I don't know what that means, but I tried.
How do they come out?
They're really geometric and, like, small. They were only about the size of a playing card, so it's all good.
It's been 2 years now since she and her friend got those matching tattoos, and so far, no regrets.
It's just, like, a reminder of my friend. We don't live in the same city or anything, so it's a reminder of her and just, like, our own version of Carpe Diem, kind of. Like, just do this and, like, take every opportunity you can and, like, live adventurously. So that's what it is for us, I guess. Or for me, I guess I shouldn't speak for her.
Oh, and if you're curious about the movie referenced, Harold and Maude is this very quirky love story between a teenage boy and a much, much older woman. Maude has got to be in her 60s or 70s. I've only seen it once. It didn't quite click for me, but I remember thinking at the time it was kind of like the movie The Graduate, except if Wes Anderson had written and directed it.
Yeah, like they do fall in love, but it's more just like she's sharing with him the joy of being alive because he's so obsessed with death, you know? And he doesn't enjoy any part of his life before he meets her, and then she kind of like opens his eyes to life is beautiful. It can be awful, but it's beautiful. You need to appreciate that. So, I don't know.
Okay, it's now 2 days later, the big day. My wife, Maggie, heads down to a tattoo and piercing shop in Bridgeport. It's called Black Atlas Studios. And I asked her to record some of what happened on her phone.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Ready as
I'll
ever be.
Yep.
I'll start with some of these little dots first.
Okay.
That right there is the voice of artist Mike Ramos, who had been recommended to Maggie by a friend, and also whose work she really liked when she checked it out on Instagram.
The worst pain you've ever felt in
life? Oh, the worst, man. Like, I delivered a baby. I think I'll be fine.
Yeah, if you can experience the miracle of childbirth.
Yeah, I mean, this. I feel like this is pretty much nothing. In comparison.
In the meantime, I was on the other side of the city. I was on a walk outside in the cold with my son Theo. And that is when Maggie texted me some pictures of the final results. And my initial reaction, the dragonfly itself was pretty much what I expected. It was like a scientific rendering, very, very well done. Although it was significantly bigger than I expected. And Mike Ramos had added a series of dotted lines and circles kind of surrounding the tail and wings, which gave this design much more of like a geometric feel. And I have to admit, I liked what I saw. And I also liked where Maggie wound up putting it, which was on her left side rather than right in the middle of her back. But I was still anxious to see everything in person, which happened a few minutes later back at the house. Got the mic out. Maggie just got home. She sent me a text of it. I liked what I saw on text, but haven't seen it in the flesh. So downstairs we go. Maggie is in the basement with my dad and Theo. All right, let's see it.
Hi, babe. You want me to show you the tattoo?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That's really good. Did you show Theo?
No, I haven't showed Theo yet.
That is actually bigger than I thought it was going to be, but I like it enough that it...
I knew that was what you were thinking. That's
Theo,
why.
Theo, what do you think of Mama's tattoo? Yeah, that's a big microphone. Nice job, baby.
Thanks.
Nice job to... What's his name?
Mike Ramos.
Like I mentioned, my dad happened to be standing right there for the big reveal.
My reaction when I saw it was, it looks like Vitruvian Man, like Vitruvian Butterfly. And if people see it, they'll know what I mean.
Vitruvian Man being the drawing by Leonardo da Vinci that fuses art and science, right, Dad?
Yes, it's a circle and a square with the man in the middle, a figure of a human in the middle, and it's believed to be Leonardo himself.
It's a drawing by Da Vinci that I guarantee you have seen repeatedly over the years. And I agreed with my dad's comparison of it being this fusion of art and science.
I liked what he did, which I had given him the idea. I want to do the scientific drawing of the dragonfly. And then he added his own kind of style elements, the lines and the dots. And I thought it just kind of made it an original piece, like something a little bit more special. Because it wasn't just, you know, like just the dragonfly.
How about the significance of it and like what your mom would think and, I don't know, just what you feel about the meaning of it, the placement of where it ended up, and those kinds of things?
Yeah, so I thought a lot about her like while it was happening, and I will say, like, the sound of the tattoo and it took about an hour, and so it allowed me to kind of almost meditate while it was while it was happening, and it was nice because I got to think about her, and I just felt like, you know, it'll be something that I'm really glad to just have it kind of on me. I'm glad with the placement because it feels like it's close to my heart.
Well, sorry for my initial reaction. I think it's cool.
Thanks, babe. Like, your initial reaction to it being bigger than me. Well, I knew you were going to think that, but I was like, you know what? It's, in the end, I'm happy with it. And it's beautiful, even if it is bigger. It's beautiful.
And if you would like to take a look at the dragonfly tattoo, check out my social media. I'm at Anthony Ponce, P-O-N-C-E, on Facebook, Instagram as well. And as a special thank you to Mr. Mike Ramos, who I haven't met in person, for his outstanding work. There is a link to his page in the show notes as well. Also, if you're a member of the Backseat Rider community on Facebook, and if you'd like to share a picture of your tattoo and the story behind it, I would love to see them, read the stories, and I'm sure other listeners of the podcast would love that as well. If you're not a member of the group, just search Backseat Rider Community in the Facebook group search and request to join, and myself or a moderator will approve you. Also, before I go, Lyft is not a sponsor of this show, has nothing to do with the content, but if you haven't signed up for Lyft yet and you want to help me out and support Backseat Rider in 2018, the best way you can do it is by signing up for Lyft using my promo code. It's easy to remember. It's just the name of this podcast, Backseat Rider, and that'll be good for $50 in free ride credit. Also be helping me out a lot. Backseat Rider is edited by Bob Gilmartin, and also thank you so much to WTTW and WTTW.com for their support of this podcast. Look for new episodes of Backseat Rider every Wednesday at podcastone.com, the Podcast One app. And if you have an iPhone, make sure that you are subscribed on Apple Podcasts. All right, I'll see you out on the roads. Backseat Rider.